Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The controversy continues about the sweeping anti-LGBT law passed by the General Assembly in a one-day special session and signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory. More than 120 major corporations have expressed opposition to the law and called for its repeal, and last week PayPal announced it was canceling plans for a 400-job facility in Charlotte because of the discrimination codified in the legislation known as House Bill 2. Representative Darren Jackson from Wake County is an outspoken opponent of the law and now says he will introduce a bill to repeal it when the General Assembly convenes its regular session April 25th. Jackson joins us now to talk about it. Well, thanks for being back with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You have been very outspoken and plan to introduce legislation to repeal HB 2. Tell us why.
It was the wrong policy. It was rushed through, wasn't well considered, well thought out. I don't think a lot of the members had a chance to obviously know what it was going to do. I think the backlash was predictable, but now we see just yesterday that it is actually costing North Carolina jobs. And so I think it's time for us to go back and repeal it. And if there are other issues we need to look at, then we need to take our time, hear from the public, and consider that in due course.
I assume that you've received quite a bit of response from your statement that we need to repeal this immediately. I think you may have been the first member of the General Assembly to call for a repeal.
I have received a lot, and then I've noticed that a lot of people are trying to do similar things, that it's a very a big effort now to repeal it. But some of it's based on the business, some of it's based on the anti-discrimination policy, some's based on some of the rights that were left, you know, and the fact that basically the state government stepping in on local governments and telling them what they can and cannot do. So it's a very interesting mix of organizations and people that are getting behind it. So.
Do you think we should repeal this when you come back into session in April? Is that your ideal plan?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to file the bill the very first day, the first day back. It's been drafted. It will have an appropriation in it so that it'll be short session eligible. Right now I'm looking at the HRC, Human Rights Commission. Their funding, they were on non-recurring funding, and so we'll need new funding for next year. I think it's between $500,000 and $600,000, and so we'll put funding in that. I think that's going to be more needed than ever now, because they're going to probably have a lot more claims to investigate. And so we're going to do that and get it introduced the first day. You know, if it was up to me, I'd call a special session and repeal it just as quickly as we passed it. But I don't think that's practical based upon the governor's stance and Senator Berger's stance and even Speaker Moore's stance. And I don't want to waste any more taxpayer money calling a special session.
You mentioned that you thought the backlash was predictable. Do you think the supporters of this bill anticipated it would get to this point?
I think the timing of it, choosing to do it the week of Easter, I think that they thought they had a little buffer, that they might take a few days of backlash. And then with the presidential primaries going on all around the country and everything, and that it would just go away. And I think they are surprised that it has continued to be a story. I got over here a little early this morning and was reading the News Observer and was reading an article that was totally unrelated to House Bill 2. And then halfway through the article, it started talking about reaction to House Bill 2. I think from the governor's press conferences and announcements and every time he's taking questions from the media, I think he's surprised that they continue to ask him about the bill.
I know you have written on your Facebook page and said in other places we should be first in inclusiveness, not first in divisiveness. Why is this so divisive?
You have taken away rights that citizens had in different areas of the state, that their local communities had decided that based upon the feeling of their citizens, the local elected officials had said, we're not going to discriminate based on, in some cases, sexual orientation, in some cases, sexual orientation or gender identity. And then the state has stepped in and said, no, we know what's best for the citizens of your area, and you're not allowed to do that. And by doing that and invalidating all those ordinances, basically what they've said is that it is state policy that you can discriminate against people for their sexual identity, their sexual orientation, or their gender identity. And I think that's wrong.
I thought it was really telling during the debate, the brief debate, the one-day debate on this bill on the House floor, Representative Martin had an amendment which would have added sexual orientation and gender identity to the non-discrimination standard of the state, and you guys never really had a chance to debate it or vote on it. It was tabled.
That's right. That and tabling, as you know, is the method that the majority uses, so they never have to be on record as taking a vote on an issue. Representative Martin's amendment wasn't quite that controversial as it might seem, because it also had veteran status. And I think people are surprised that without this type of protection that veterans can be discriminated against, and housing is where it usually arises. I think the fact that they tabled it gives you a good indication that it may have had some Republican support had it been allowed to vote.
What do you think this has done to North Carolina's brand around the country? It's hard to pick up a national newspaper or read a national site online without reading about this happening in North Carolina.
Oh, it's definitely set us back, and the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be for the state. I think that we had just started to get over some of the Amendment 1 issues, and it looked like our universities were starting to bounce back a little bit, and we were starting to land some economic development deals. We've been in tough competition with South Carolina for several years now, but I think people were seeing that North Carolina was the place they wanted to be, and now nobody wants to be attracted to all this negative media attention. I think it's something that every day goes by, the worse it's going to get, and the harder it is to fix it.
You mentioned Senator Berger and Speaker Moore. They had a joint statement this week reacting to the PayPal decision to not go ahead with its project in Charlotte. And they basically blame Mayor Roberts and radical leftists and said it's all about protecting kids' safety in bathrooms, which is what they've said all along. How do you respond when people ask you about that?
You know, first of all, it wasn't about bathrooms. It was about non-discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. It has been turned into a scare tactic by certain groups without any evidence that it's any type of public safety issue. I was disappointed to see the statements yesterday from the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the General Assembly leadership in that they seem to be attacking PayPal. And if we're going to start attacking corporations that decide to try to come to North Carolina and then decide not to, I think the list of bidders and the list of companies that are interested in even looking at North Carolina is going to get really short really fast.
The governor seems to have indicated he's willing to talk about changing part of HB2, but Senator Berger doesn't seem to be inclined to do that at all. What do you think the chances for either dramatic changes or repeal are in the legislative session?
Well, I think you addressed the issue that it's over in Senator Berger's court. I think to have any chance at repeal, it would probably have to come from the Senate, and I haven't seen any indication from him of any willingness to do that yet. I'm interested to see what the business community does. The Chamber of Commerce, the state chamber, has not weighed in on this. I'm hearing from organizations from out the Outer Banks saying that they're getting calls canceling beach rentals. We've seen the FEM and TV industry pulling out. We see more announcements like PayPal. We'll see if they're thinking changes. But right now, I wouldn't expect repeal to get a big shot. I have heard some interest in tweaking the bill, but at this point, I mean, I'm focused on full repeal. Mm-hmm. I don't think coming back and just tweaking it on the margins is what we need.
And what do you think your colleagues are thinking? I'm sure you've probably talked to some of them.
A lot of them are very surprised at the where we find ourselves in that they thought that we weren't coming back into session, that it could wait. Then when it came back in, it decided we were coming back into session, they expected to see what they thought was going to be a bathroom bill. And I think everybody was surprised at 10:15 that morning when the bill was finally released, how expansive it was. And everybody's been playing catch-up since then, trying to figure out why these things got added, who knew that this is what it did, why it was rushed through. I literally stayed for the Senate debate because if they had made a change, it would have come back to the House. They said we could go home. I had a couple of errands, ran by the office, got dinner, and by the time I got home, he had signed it. The ordinance didn't even take effect to April 1st. He could have taken a week to consider it, to get all this feedback, and he didn't. And so I think a lot of people are just trying to figure out why, how we found ourselves in the hole that we're in now.
And what happens if your efforts are not successful and nothing changes? How much damage do you think this could do to North Carolina?
I think it'll be a lot of damage, and I think it'll be ongoing. I think it'll be permanent damage. You will see the announcements like PayPal's yesterday that they've changed their mind and they're not coming to North Carolina. But what you will not see is the corporations across the country who had North Carolina on a list of states they were thinking about relocating or expanding in and quietly crossed the name off the list. didn't wish to really wade into the debate, didn't want the other groups coming out against them for making statements that are not coming, but they just quietly crossed our name off the list. And that'll happen probably for years to come, and we'll never know the extent of it.
Well, thanks for your efforts to change that, and we really appreciate you being with us. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Up next, what's likely to come out of Governor Pat McCrory's task force on mental health and substance use.